third time speaking to you on a very important subject, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I will be leaving right after this lesson, and it's not because of the lesson. We have to get back to Elizabethton, Tennessee, and I want to thank the elders for having me and the lectureship committee for inviting me, and especially assigning to me the subjects they did, and especially this one. Brethren, wherever I go, I try to preach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, even in gospel meetings. Sometimes by doing that, I hold two meetings at one time, my first and last. But at least they get to hear it one time. It is sad that some congregations will not allow truth to be taught on the subject. Lon Shuler, who's traveling with me, used to attend a congregation that would not preach the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. He said, "Wesley, the only time I get to hear the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage is when I listen to Arise to Truth." That's our radio program. And we often have people call in and they'll give us various scenarios and say, "What about that? Am I married right? Or is my marriage unscriptural?" We work from the basis. They're telling us the facts, and then we give them what the Bible says about it. And whatever the Bible says about it applies to you and applies to me. And this is what we got to do. Oh, it's tough. I know it's tough, folks. The phone rings. I answer the phone. It's my mother from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. "Wesley, I'm going to get married again." I said, "Mom, now you know how I feel about this, and I think all the children are in the same boat. We love Dad, thought the world of him. But we hold the view you have a right to marry again if you marry somebody qualified. Are you marrying a Christian?" She's a Christian. "Yes, I am." She said, "Wesley, will you say the ceremony?" "I'd be privileged to say the ceremony." "I sure will. Let me ask you one more question, Mom. Has he ever been married before?" "We need to talk to you about that, Wesley." "Yes, he has. He's been divorced. And he wants to talk to you about it." So she puts him on the phone. And I say to him, "George, why were you involved in the divorce that took place in your life?" "Well, my wife divorced me." I said, "Why did your wife divorce you?" "Well, actually, it was our daughter. Our daughter put her up to it. And she divorced me." "No fornication involved?" I asked him. "Oh, no. No fornication involved." I said, "George, if you marry my mother, you'll be living in adultery. You can't marry Mom. Have you not read Matthew 5:32? Have you not read Matthew 19:9? "Well, we're looking at those passages now." I said, "Put Mom back on, please." I said, "Mother, you cannot get married to this man. If you marry this man, you're going to be living in adultery." You know what makes me sick? The preacher, where she was attending and he was attending, wouldn't take a stand. That makes me sick. Endangers the soul of my mom. They get married. "Well, I'll promise you one thing. I didn't say the ceremony." "Well, I get an invitation to the wedding. I'm a son. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to attend the wedding either." Let me tell you something, brethren. It is wrong to encourage those that are doing wrong. You need to understand that. I need to understand that. I know people that get married unscripturally and members of the church give them showers, attend the wedding, and do everything in the world they can to encourage them. Help them go to hell in violating Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32. I can't believe that. But that's what some people will do. My sister Jean, she married a man by the name of Homer. He had been married and divorced 5 times. I said to her, Jean, and I said this in Homer's presence, Jean, if Homer did not divorce every one of those women for the cause of fornication, and he being an innocent party, and now is married to you, you are living in adultery. She laughs at, Homer might be living in adultery. I'm not living in adultery. Homer said, Jean, it doesn't work that way. If I'm in adultery, you're in adultery. And that's right. We got brethren so namby-pamby and wishy-washy, they don't even believe you can live in adultery. Read Romans 6, 1 and 2, Colossians 3, 7, where the Bible makes it plain you can live in adultery. You know, you and I need to take the same mindset toward things that God Almighty has. I've often told the brethren, if I could have one prayer and all the world answered, it would be this one. God, help me to love the things you love and hate the things you hate. Now, he's not going to answer that just bang. You know why? That's Christianity. Learning to do that. I got to learn to love the things God loves and hate the things that he hates. And Malachi 2 tells me he hates divorces. And he wants me and you to hold on to the wives of our youth. Usually when I preach on this subject, I do several lessons. You're going to hear them all today in many forms. One of them is the sin of divorce. And I'm talking about an unscriptural divorce. And here's your sermon, fellas. This is for Sunday. You don't have to do anything else. Number one, you have to put the meat on it. Divorce is a sin against your marriage vows. Brother, when you walk down that aisle and you in front of God Almighty and all those witnesses said, I do, you did. Whether you realize it or not, if you were qualified to be married. Oh, but I didn't realize he was going to be that ugly in the morning. That's tough. You did. I didn't realize he was going to be that sloppy. Tough. You did. You're married. And I tell you one thing, it's a serious thing. Jesus Christ said, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Now, God expects you to keep your word. God expects me to keep mine. Secondly, divorce is a sin against children. Every child deserves both a mother and a father. I preached this at White Oak. We had 3 families getting ready to marry wrong and be living in adultery. And I went to the pulpit that morning and I preached on the subject and I preached on it that night. And I had some members come out crying and mad at me. Let me tell you something, fellas. First and foremost, you got to be God's man. We tell our preacher students, you're God's man, first of all. They'll fire you if you preach it, Wesley. They can't fire you but one time. Preach it. And trust God to take care of you. You got to be God's man. One young lady came up to me, squalling her eyes out. And she said, Wesley, the saddest day in my life was when my mother and father divorced. And the happiest day in my life was when they got back together. That's from a child's perspective. And that's right. How many divorces you see where mother and father use the children as pawns and fight over those children? And those children don't know what to do. Who to love or who's right? Divorce is a sin against those precious children. Divorce is a sin against society. Let me tell you something. In the 60s in this country, 1 out of every 4 marriages wound up in divorce. In 1977, for the first time, 1 out of every 2 wound up in divorce. Society's not going to fix it, folks. Somebody's got to be an example. And you know who that somebody is? That's you. That's me. And we got to teach the truth on the subject, but not only teach the truth on the subject, live the truth on the subject. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You are the light of the world, and you're going to have to be the light of the world when it comes to this subject. You know what's sad? I told you a moment ago that one out of every two divorces, a little more than that now, wind up in divorce. That's not the sad part. That's bad enough. Don't misunderstand me. But you think of all the marriages that are sticking together and people are just putting up with each other. They have no love for one another. They're together because of the children. This, that, and the other. When if they just go to the Bible, read the Bible, and do what the Bible says, they could have a glorious marriage. And that's what God wants them to have. Divorce is a sin against the Lord's church. Men, when you get involved in a non-scriptural divorce, you can hang it up. You're not qualified to be an elder. People are not going to accept you as a preacher. They're not going to accept you as a deacon. Let me say this in case you are divorced and remarried scripturally. Don't you let anybody treat you like a second-rate Christian. You're not. Because you complied with God's law. And God loves you for doing it. You didn't have to put up with that fornicator. And God admires you for taking the stand you took in honoring His law. Divorce is a sin against God Almighty. Malachi 2, God hates puttings away. He hates divorce. God designed the marriage relationship with Adam and Eve. One man for one woman for a lifetime. And that's the way He wants it. That's the way it's got to be. Except for two things. Death and fornication. You being an innocent party then can put your mate away for fornication. Divorce is a sin against love. We're told in 1 Peter 4:8 that charity shall hide a multitude of sins. Let me tell you something. If I love my wife correctly and she loves me correctly, there's no problem she and I cannot work out. None whatsoever. And I don't understand a husband and a wife that have the mindset, well, we just can't talk about this or talk about that. My best friend is my wife. I'd rather be with her than be with anybody. And I thrill of our times that we have together and we go out to eat, special things that we do together. God told the truth when He said it's not good for man to be alone. I love marriage and would not want to live without my wife. I tell you what, women, true Christian women, wives, are jewels. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. That's God's design. Now, I've known some who found a wife that found a terrible thing because they didn't follow God's design. Had a man come to my house one time, and I told him, you're living in adultery. He was bragging about the wife he just married. And I said, look, you're living in adultery. He got mad. He got so mad that my son-in-law was in the home and my son-in-law went and got the shotgun and laid it on the bed with the shells. He is that mad. Do I need to tell you now that man is in prison for killing a person? We knew he had that capability. But even though he had that capability, he wasn't going to leave before I in love told him, you're living in adultery. And I told him that nice. Kind. We got to do it, brethren. If we love God, we've got to do that. Now, look at Matthew 5:32 for just a moment. I'm supposed to cover that verse, then we're going to Matthew 19. In Matthew 5:32, and I want you to see this. This is the one point I want you to get from the verse. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Listen to me, married people. When you put your mate away for an unscriptural reason, and that mate fornicates, the Bible says right here, you cause that mate to commit fornication. You did it. Can you not see the seriousness of this? I can't just up and say, I don't love my wife anymore. I'm not in love with her anymore. I fell out of love with her. Give me Bible authority for that. falling out of love with your wife when God Almighty commands that you love her. If God can command I love my enemies, and I've got to do it, surely I've got to love my wife when he commands me to do that. Fall out of love? You're going to fall out of heaven with that concept, I promise you. Because you can't go forth making claims that the Bible will not allow you to make. Matthew 19, beginning with verse number 1, I'm not to cover the first two verses, but I want to cover them for a reason. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. This one point I want to make. Jesus Christ at this time is very popular. The multitudes are following him. Right in the midst of all this popularity, he chooses to teach the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Wesley, it might not make you popular if you do that. I know it won't. It'll make you popular with God. Friends, the only person you're trying to please is God. The only person I'm trying to please is God. It saddens me when I have to go to the pulpit like I did and preach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and see people walk out mad at me. I don't enjoy that. I'll be honest with you. I have feelings. Elders have feelings. They don't enjoy it either. In a gospel meeting, I preached on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. A lady in her late 20s, early 30s, came out the door. I'd gone to the back. She didn't wait for the finishing announcements. She came out bawling like a baby, reached up and hugged me, and left. I didn't know what the problem was. You know what she had concluded from my sermon? That there's a good chance she is living in adultery, and she thanked God somebody told her. She hugged me before she left. That's the right attitude. Come to find out she wasn't, but she thought she was. Do you want to go to heaven? Then don't get mad at someone that's telling you the truth. Love that individual, just like that lady hugging me. She didn't get mad and walk off. I preached on marriage, divorce, and remarriage one time, lost 3 members. Preached on the Masonic Lodge next Sunday, lost 3 more. I'd build churches up all around us, you know. No, seriously. I asked the men in the business meeting, fellas, you know what's happened here. I preached on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and we lost 3 of our members. I preached on the Masonic Lodge, and we lost 3 more. What sayest thou? And they said this, Wesley, we heard those lessons. You preached them in love and kindness, and you taught exactly what the Word of God says. Brother, we say unto you, preach on. And if we get down to 10, we'll do the best we can. That's the right attitude, brother. If we get down to 10, we'll do the best we can. If there's only 10 in that congregation that will endorse truth, that's the only 10 in fellowship with God anyway. Now you got a good congregation, you start to build. You don't want that to happen. You want people to change their hearts. Now as we look at Matthew 19, verse number 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him. Boy, how many times have I had people come unto me, tempting me, begging me in essence, to give them a license to divorce and marry someone else. And if you preach, you're going to go through this. If you're an elder, you're going to go through this. I had a couple of ladies come to me one time, Wesley, our husbands cuss us. They get drunk. Doesn't God want us to be happy? Surely you can see that we need to divorce them. I said, I can't see that. You can't see that. God wants us to be happy, doesn't he? Yes. Within the confines of his word, God wants one to be happy. See, you can't just throw that word around loosely. If we let some men be happy, they'd have a harem. You got to work within the confines of God's word. We got to do what the Bible says. And so, you'll be tempted. And I'll tell you something else they'll do. They'll come to you and find out you believe the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. They'll run to another preacher. And they'll keep looking to somebody endorses their ungodly situation. Let nobody kid you. Now, honest hearts won't do that. Don't misunderstand me. Now, notice what else is said in that verse. And saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Depends on who you ask. You ask some of these weak need brethren in the brotherhood, oh yes, it's lawful. You ask Jesus Christ, it's not lawful. We got those in the brotherhood. I tell you what, listen to me, brethren. When you wind up making the Godhead look stupid, you need to change your position. I'm telling you. We got brethren that do that on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Matthew 19:9, they can't stand it. Matthew 5:32, they can't stand it. You know what they do? They say, well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is part of the Old Testament. Not part of the New Testament anyway. Now, I want to show you the stupidity of that statement, and I say it kindly. Right here is Calvary's cross. Guess what was nailed to Calvary's cross? The old law, right? That happened around 33 AD. Somewhere in the mid-40s to early 50s, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written. You mean to tell me the Godhead is so ridiculous that they gave us four books that go into the old law that's already been done away with? You're smarter than that, folks. Why did they need to come up with this theory? Because they don't like what Jesus Christ said on Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32. It's just a whole lot easier to believe the book. Believe what God says on the subject. Now, the question is asked, is it lawful? Now, you and I, in honesty and fairness, ought to say and ask ourselves, what about our marriage? Is it lawful? Not all marriages are lawful. In Matthew chapter 6, I want you to notice verses 17 and 18. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Notice, he's got his brother Philip's wife. I asked Olin Hicks one time. I was in the audience, Olin trying to defend his false doctrine on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I said, Olin, could Herod have said, I'm sorry for taking somebody else's wife and keep her? No, this is an unlawful marriage. So you will acknowledge, sir, there are such things as unlawful marriages? In this case, it is. But I'll tell you one thing, when it comes to this day and time, it's hard for him to find one. But that's not what Matthew 19:9 says. Matthew 5:32. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Friends, when we talk about it being lawful or not lawful, we're talking about the laws of God, not the laws of men. And don't let the laws of men confuse you. I had a so-called gospel preacher argue with me the other day that when an unscriptural divorce takes place, if one of those people choose to get married, God does join them to that unlawful partner, but the result is adultery. Let me tell you something. If God Almighty is not going to honor his marriage laws, why should I? God doesn't do that. Listen, only God can dissolve a marriage, disjoin it, and only God can join two people together. Now, if you'll remember that, a lot of problems go away. If my wife up and divorces me unscripturally, the laws of the land say that's lawful. God says it's not lawful, and we're still married. And I must function as a married person if I want to be faithful to God. I can't go out here and date and try to find me another wife. I can't do that. Because the laws of God have me bound. We need to honor those laws. Notice in verse number 4. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? Here's what's wrong with our society. They've not read what God Almighty has said on the subject. And I'd planned to go through a series of verses and read them for you. But that clock is catching up with me. Let me say this. When I got married, you had to have a blood test. You had to have a marriage license. Several things you had to do. Since I wanted to get married to my little sweetheart, I had to find out what the laws of the land required. Why don't we respect God that much to find out what he requires? That's all we're asking. Have you not read? I want to show you a couple of verses. I'm afraid I might not be... Well, let me show you. I'm going to just have to take the time. You got to see this. Turn to Romans 7. In Romans 7, beginning with verse number 1... Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. I challenge you to do a word study on that word called. Every time it's used in the Bible, it's a divine calling. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Remember when Joseph was warned by an angel to take baby Jesus and go to Egypt? Same word. It's always a divine warning, calling. Now, if I call you an adulteress, it's no big deal. But when God Almighty calls you one, that's the way it is. You can mark that down, underline it, and not forget it. Now, let me tell you something. Marriages are to last a lifetime. That's the original design. Now, if I choose to put my mate away and marry somebody else while my mate's living and it wasn't for the cause of fornication, God calls me an adulterer. That's what he calls me. And that's what I am. And all the congregations in the world can fellowship me, but it won't change what I am, because God Almighty's told me what I am. See, all we're trying to do is get the Bible positioned before you. Well, Wesley, you talk like a man might find himself in a situation to where he'd have to stay single. That's exactly what I'm telling you. That could happen. In 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband." Now watch it. "But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." Now when there is a departing, an unscriptural divorce, one not for the cause of fornication, I want you to notice you can't remarry. You stay single. Or you're reconciled to that mate to whom you're truly married in the sight of God, though the laws of the land say you're divorced. Now that's serious stuff. And it's a little late to try to teach people, in many cases, that are involved in unscriptural marriages. Listen to me, preachers, Bible teachers, elders, deacons, parents. If you want to stop an unscriptural marriage in your family, start while they're young. Teach them from the time they can recognize anything, right on up, the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Now, as we go back to Matthew 19:9, I want you to notice, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and male?" No, that's what they're trying to pawn off on us. And we're not going to buy that. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. I want you to notice you've got to be qualified to be married, male and female. Everyone originally who's never been married is qualified to be married. He points that out down here in verse 5. That's a qualified person. A person who's been married but lost his or her mate to death is qualified to be married. Romans 7, 1 through 3. A person who has been married, being an innocent party, put his or her mate away for the cause of fornication, is qualified to be married. But they got to marry somebody that falls in one of those three categories for that marriage to be scriptural. We got to teach our brethren this. We got to teach the world this. We teach it on radio on a regular basis. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Now, notice some of the problems in verse 5. "And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother." I found out many marriage problems come about because one or the other won't leave mother or dad. Boy, they hold on to the skirt tails. And here come problems. You got to leave. We got two beautiful girls, and my wife and I tell them, "You're obligated in the sight of God and privileged in the sight of God to have a mate, and you're to love them more than you love your own mother and father." You got to reach that point. If you don't, you're not going to have a good marriage, a scriptural marriage. Then notice, "and shall cleave to his wife." Oh, I got to show you a verse. Look at Acts 11. In Acts 11, in verse number 23, I want you to notice what the Bible says. "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Now that you and I have become children of God and have obeyed from the heart, the Bible says we are to cleave unto the Lord. Well, the same Bible that tells me to cleave unto the Lord tells me when I marry that wife that's scriptural, I'm to cleave unto her. I don't dare let go of the Lord, and I don't dare let go of my wife. That's the Bible position. We leave to cleave. And then notice, the Bible says, and they twain shall be one flesh. One in aim, purpose, goal. It's almost like one in entity because you love each other so dearly. And you get to express that beautiful language. That sexual language that can only be enjoyed in the marriage relationship. You become one that way, and then here comes offspring. That's a product of husband and wife. And as I said a moment ago, they have a right to have mother and father and not have to go through a divorce. Wherefore, there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And would to God that every judge in this country would read that verse and believe it. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Now think seriously, folks, before you ever ponder a divorce. Let me tell you something. If your mate runs around on you, even, if at all possible to save the marriage, that's wonderful. You don't have to. God doesn't put you under that kind of obligation. The fornicator has forfeited his right to a marriage if the innocent party chooses to execute the divorce commandment in Matthew 19:9. Verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. And let me tell you something, brethren. Unscriptural divorces come about because of hard hearts. There can never be a divorce without sin. A man preached one time that divorce was about that close to sin. No. You can't have a divorce. No way in the world can a divorce take place without sin being involved. And I'm talking about a scriptural divorce even. There's got to be sin on the part of the fornicator for you to put him away. You don't have a right to be involved in an unscriptural divorce and violate your marriage vows, to withhold your body from your mate, Matthew 5:32, in so doing you cause him or her to commit fornication. You don't have that right. And you don't have Bible authority from God Almighty to do it. That's the key point right there. Now, if we believed that, brethren, you wouldn't see any divorces hardly in a brotherhood. If we just believed what's being taught right here in Matthew 19:9. Notice as we go on, says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. That's not the way God designed it. Not at all. One man for one woman for a lifetime. But I say unto you, whosoever... That word whosoever is universal. Just like in John 3:16, those who try to come up with this concept, well, there are kingdom passages on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and then there's passages that are not kingdom passages on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and all that is, brethren, is an attempt to get around Matthew 19:9. The Bible says whosoever does this puts away his mate for a reason other than fornication commits adultery. Let me put it this way. All parties who divorce and remarry are parties who commit adultery. Every one of them, except those who are innocent putting away their mate for the cause of fornication. The acceptive clause is not difficult. John 3:3-5, Jesus said, except you be born again, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Listen to me, all responsible people upon the face of the earth are lost and dying and going to hell. Every one of them, except those who have been born again. That's the import of the acceptive sentence. So the Lord is saying, look, you divorce your mate and marry another, you commit adultery. And whosoever marries her that is put away commits adultery. And that word commit means continuous action keeps on committing adultery. As long as you're in that state, these people, listen to me. They say, well, all you got to do now, yeah, you're married wrong. You're living in adultery, but we'll baptize you, and that'll take care of it. Hogwash. That won't take care of it. Because after you come up out of the water, you're still violating Matthew 19:9. And let me tell you something. If you're going to study the Bible, you need a Bible. Some of these modern day perversions put in Matthew 19:9, except it be for immorality. Folks stealing a chicken's immoral. But I sure can't put my wife away for stealing a chicken and remarrying again. Get you a Bible. If you're going to study the Bible, you can't beat that word fornication. The word fornication is a big word. And thank God the Lord used it to take into consideration homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, bestiality, incest, the whole gamut of things as far as sexual sins. And God says if you find your mate involved in one of those sins, I, the God of heaven, will not insist you live with that mate. You don't have to. And if you choose to put him or her away, you can do it. And listen to me, folks, it's so severe that once the guilty party is put away, the guilty party has no Bible authority ever to marry again. Oh, but what if the mate dies? That has nothing to do with it. Well, Romans 7, 1 through 4 said it did. No, it didn't. That's talking about when the marriage was intact. I want you to notice when you get a scriptural divorce, God separates you from that mate. You're not married to that mate anymore. It makes no difference if that mate dies or not. You're not married to him. And there's no Bible authority for the guilty party to remarry. Attempt after attempt is being set forth by various men in our brotherhood to get around Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:9. And all they're trying to do is destroy the marriage laws that God has put into tact. We let our brethren, these liberal brethren, and the world destroy the home. You can mark it down, underline it, and triple X it. There goes the church. As goes the home, so goes the church. We can't allow them this privilege. You and I have got to stand up and speak up. And we need good elders that will back good sound preaching. Let me go on down here just a moment to say that the Lord said not all can receive this commandment. Why, the disciples said, if it's like that, a man would be better off in essence not to get married. The Lord said, let me tell you something, not everybody can anyway. Because some are eunuchs because they were born that way, some made that way, and some made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Von Schiller, his son Charles, heard the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Realized he is living in adultery. And loved God more than he loved his mate. Came out of it. Boy, you're talking about a sacrifice, folks. What about the children? What about the children? What about the children? All the sob stories in the world won't change it, folks. I'm sorry about the children. What about the Mormon that's got five wives and got children by all five of them? What about the children? It's not what about the children. What about Bible authority? That's what it's about. What about going to heaven? You see, the Mormon that's got five wives that chooses to become a child of God can't keep all five of them. Four of them's got to go, and he can't even choose the four that goes. Number two is the prettiest. And number three is the richest. But number one's his wife. And that's the one he's stuck with. I hate to use that terminology. That's the one that's his. And he's going to have to live with that mate until both of them die or one commits fornication. Oh, I wish I could go on. May God help you and me to love him more than we love our mother or father. By the way, I use my mother illustration to make this one point. Many people believe the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage until one of their family members get involved. And then all of a sudden, they're rethinking their position on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. If you want to rethink it, all right, but use the scriptures and always come to the conclusion that God wants you to reach. May God help us to reach and draw only those conclusions warranted by the evidence. And may God help us to love our mates and choose someone as our mate that's going to help us go to heaven. Thank you much.